You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
One way of reacting to danger is not to react at all. Some animals experience a temporary paralysis when in peril. They survive by playing dead. Unfortunately, the danger of climate change has inspired similar reactions in some human beings. Global warming has induced a kind of mental paralysis in some quarters. Instead of positive energy, there's denial. Instead of creative solutions, there are half measures. One popular solution is carbon trading. It's marketed as the best of both worlds. It reduces emissions and it keeps the economy running. Joining us to analyze the reality of carbon trading is Ian Angus. He's the editor of the online journal Climate and Capitalism. Good morning, Ian.
Good morning.
How's carbon trading supposed to work?
Well, there are almost as many plans for carbon trading as there are countries in the world, but basically the idea is that the government will set a limit on the amount of greenhouse gas emissions that can occur in a given period, say a year, and it then produces permits which would allow that amount of emissions and provides them to the businesses, et cetera, that emit emissions. It could do it by giving them away, which has actually been the most common approach, or by selling them or auctioning them or in some other form. So the idea is that each factory would have permits up to the amount it's allowed to emit. If a company is not able to reduce its emissions to that level, what it's going to have to do then is buy permits from some other company that has been able to reduce its emissions more than the limit allows. And the idea is this creates a price on carbon, and then gradually over time, the cap is reduced. There are fewer permits each year, and according to theory, this will result eventually in the elimination of emissions.
How's carbon trading regulated?
Well, there you come to another question. There are various agencies in different countries that have been set up, and there's an awful lot of actually unregulated carbon trading that goes on in many markets. Part of the biggest problem is how do you actually measure the reductions and who does the measuring? The system of measuring is extremely inaccurate, and there are, of course, extraordinary incentives in the system to lie, to claim that your emissions are lower than they really are, to hide emissions, or, of course, frequently to simply export emissions, that is, to move the most dirty part of your manufacturing to some country that has cheaper permits or no permits at all.
How do you explain what are the key problems with carbon trading?
Well, I guess the single biggest problem is it doesn't work. It sounds like a great idea, but it depends on an absolutely brilliantly designed and perfectly designed pricing system, which human beings are incapable of doing, manufactured perfectly, and complete honesty in all the participants, and none of those things have existed. In Europe, there's been a carbon trading system in place for some years. It had zero effect on emissions over there, and none of the systems that have been proposed anywhere else in the world look any better. What we've seen, for example, in Europe is that the governments and the politicians get involved, the lobbyists get involved, all the companies lobby hard to get more emissions for themselves. The politicians pretty much always give way on that sort of thing. You've got an important industry like forestry in BC or oil wells in Alberta, those industries will push hard to get high levels of emissions. What happened in Europe was so many emission credits were released that the price of emissions simply collapsed. The price of these permits collapsed to the point where it was actually cheaper to simply continue emitting greenhouse gases because you could buy the emissions permits so cheaply on the marketplace. And that happened with the first round, which ended about a year ago, and now they've got a second round. And in the past few months, the cost of these emissions credits fell from about 30 euros a ton down to about 10 euros a ton, which again, right now, makes it cheaper to emit greenhouse gases than to actually make any changes.
It sounds like even the whole system involves a lot of resources, a lot of thinking, a lot of a lot of work on people's part to make that work. Is that a good way to be spending people's mental resources in terms of trying to solve climate change?
Well, it really isn't. I mean, according to the theorists who come up with this, what will happen is that businesses will put an awful lot of resources into, you know, coming up ways to reduce their emissions. But what has really happened is that it's an emergence of a whole industry of people who do nothing but teach companies how to get around the rules, how to make their emissions look smaller, how to export them, where they can buy the cheapest permits, and so on. You get the equivalent of tax accountants. You know, every company has a whole bunch of tax accountants whose job is to figure out ways to avoid paying taxes. Well, we've had a whole industry develop in Europe of consultants and so on whose main business is showing businesses how they can profit off of the trading system without actually reducing their emissions, as an enormous amount of human effort goes into avoiding making anything different.
Sounds like you are also critical of this system just in terms of its underlying goals. How do you see the underlying goals of carbon trading?
Well, the biggest problem with it is, of course, that you're trying to put a price on something that we really want to get rid of. And if you can't price it properly, you're going to have a disaster, and that's what we've really had going for us. But more generally and philosophically, it strikes me as outrageous that what we are effect doing with the carbon trading system is privatizing the atmosphere. That is, we are simply allowing people to buy the right to destroy our atmosphere. We're putting a price on that, so it's a form of privatization. These permits end up being a form of private property. What we really ought to be doing is saying, how can we get our emissions down extremely rapidly? And neither carbon trading nor the other commonly used approach, which is taxes, achieves that goal. We have very limited time to reduce emissions, and turning it over to the vagaries of the market is just plain stupid.
Connected with carbon trading is something called carbon offsets, and I believe that when I've been on, say, travel websites, it says, oh, you can get some travel offsets by planting trees somewhere. Help me make the connection to what's going on here.
Well, somebody once said that offsets are an imaginary commodity that was created that deducts what you hope will happen from what you guess might have happened. Basically, the idea is that, and this does typically fit into a carbon trading system as well, a business can't reduce its or doesn't want to spend the money to reduce its emissions in British Columbia, so it finds somebody who is building a hydro dam in India or China and invests in that and gets credit for it because presumably it will reduce emissions in India or China. Many of these things involve even less credible things than that, things like planting trees, which may or may not survive. The idea is that you're paying for something green that's happening somewhere else in the world. It's been compared to the medieval system that was called indulgences. In the old days in the church, if you sinned, you could buy your way out of it, literally pay the church to be forgiven so that you got into heaven without actually having to stop sinning.
I'm actually quite familiar with that idea of indulgences, which is I've always found extremely strange.
Well, this is exactly the same thing. You know, you're going to go on, the idea is that you can go on generating all kinds of emissions, either in your personal life or in the factory, or the factory that you own can do it, and all you've got to do is pay somebody else not to do it.
Who benefits from carbon trading, Ian?
Carbon trading has proven to be an enormous benefit to the biggest polluters in the world. We look at what happened in Europe. The companies that made the biggest profits out of selling these carbon permits were the energy companies, who are on the whole in Europe are the largest generators of emissions. The other groups that have made a lot of money out of it are people like brokers. It becomes a form of essentially stock trading, and in fact a form of derivatives trading, very similar to the whole thing we went through with subprime mortgages, because in essence you're trading off imaginary products in the hope that the market will not notice that there's nothing behind them.
What would a real solution to global warming look like?
Well, as a simple example, and I'm not saying it's exactly parallel, but let's look at what happened in Canada during World War II, when the government realized that in order to conduct this war, and we're today in a war on emissions, that it was going to have to move extremely quickly to change the nature of the economy. They didn't go into trading, and they didn't do it with taxes. They did two big things. Number one, they simply went to the biggest industries, the automobile industry and so on, and said, okay, you are now going to change. Effective immediately, stop making cars, start making the things we need made. And we could certainly do that instead of investing all the government money that's being proposed to do in the automobile industry, going to the major manufacturers and saying, okay, now it's time for you to start moving into green engine industry, start making solar power equipment, start making wind power, start doing all the green industry things we've been hearing about. And the government simply did that, and in fact, it completely turned around Canadian industrial production in a matter of months in the 1940s. Similarly, for those things that consumers use that they faced with shortages, as the most democratic way to resolve that, they moved into rationing. They simply said, okay, for gasoline, which is a case in point for today, they said, we're going to try and limit the amount of gasoline that is used, and we're going to do it by this method of simply saying, everybody gets to use the same amount. Here is your permits. Once you've used those, don't drive your car anymore. We could do that similarly with greenhouse gas today. But whether it's exactly that approach or another one, the key one is going to have to be an extremely rapid reduction in greenhouse gas emissions, especially by the wealthiest countries. We look at what's going on in BC today, where there's a big fight in your election about who's, you know, going to do a better job. Both of the major parties are proposing targets that are so far below what's needed that it's simply a joke. We're going to need direct action by governments to change the way our economies work.
Well, it's been really good talking to you this morning, Ian. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
I've been speaking with Ian Angus. He is the editor of the online journal Climate and Capitalism, and you can find that site by going to climateandcapitalism.com.